You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the day before Election Day on November 4th. I thought I wasn't going to have a show tomorrow, but yes, I am going to have one because the schedule is somewhat changed. Every first Tuesday of the month, we have our Board of Trustees meeting, and that usually means I'm preempted. But we had a somewhat change of schedule. Normally, my show is from 4 to 5. Every day, and on Fridays, we usually have an extra long show. Sometimes I start a little later, but it's usually a hour and a half, 2 hours. So tomorrow, I was not going to planning on giving a show, but I will definitely be giving a show. Don't worry, I'll be here tomorrow giving you my take. And this somewhat changes. I had planned not to be giving a show, so what I'm talking about today really is more appropriate for Tuesday, but I'm still going to go ahead with what I was going to present. Now, what everyone is doing right now, if you've listened to the television and the radios, every predictor, every pundit, as well as many of the talk show hosts, whether they're conservative, libertarian, are giving their 2 cents as to what's going to happen tomorrow. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. That's not really true. Let me tell you what I hope is going to happen and I think is going to happen. But funny things happen when you have voter fraud and elections are stolen. And that's something you need to understand with a very close election. In other words, when you're 3% or less, people steal elections. It's done all the time, mainly by the Democratic Party, but also the Republican Party. Both parties, when they're pushed to the wall, they'll cheat. And that robs your vote of its significance. They've already been caught at it, changing votes, whether you do this by paper or machine. And I've heard arguments on both sides. I tend to go with the machine side, but you can reprogram those machines. I used to be a programmer. It's definitely possible if you centralize all those voting machines. So if you decentralize them, it's less likely to happen. But I urge you have to make a decision, one, whether or not you're going to go to the polls tomorrow if you have not already voted. And if you are or have not voted yet, you have a second decision, who you're going to vote for. Now, if you listen to past shows, you know my political philosophy is classical liberalism. And if you were to ask me, well, what's your party affiliation? I would say, well, for a long time, I voted Republican because I was a classical liberal. And the Republican Party of 30 years ago, in terms of Ronald Reagan, came closest to my political philosophy. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Because I ask you, how many departments did he close? How many budgets did he truly cut, real cuts? The answer is none. You see, Ronald Reagan said he was a libertarian. And that's another way to say classical liberal, although there's some fine distinctions. But for purpose of this show, whether you call me a libertarian or classical liberal, I'll acknowledge that is my political philosophy. We believe in limited government. We believe in balanced budgets. But the most important thing is the size and the scope of the government. Because you can have balanced budgets and have a huge, huge government. Now, under both Republicans and Democrats, that's not been the case. We've had huge, big government, massive government, and massive deficits. In other words, both political parties are fiscally irresponsible. They have what I call SAD, spending addiction disorder. There is not a budget that they can balance. And I know they talk a good game, especially the Republicans. Now, the Democrats, they don't make any bones about it. They just want more and more government spending. And if they can't get it through taxes, they'll get it for more debt. So they don't really care about balancing the budget at all. And you see that in the proposals that the president has sent to Congress. That, for all practical purposes, has been totally ignored by Congress because it's up to Congress, both the House and the Senate, to decide how much money is going to be spent. In other words, what will be the appropriations followed by authorizations to spend. And they don't care. They want to spend as much money as they could possibly get away with. And that has been their mode of operation for really over 100 years. It's nothing new, but it's getting out of control. Matter of fact, it is totally out of control. Now, after saying this, one of the reasons why I left the Republican Party, as well as many other people, there are literally tens of millions of us, is under the presidency of George W. Bush, spending and terms of deficits got bigger and bigger and bigger. In other words, the conservative principle, the libertarian principle, the classical liberal principle of fiscal responsibility was thrown out the window. Or to paraphrase Vice President Dick Cheney, Reagan proved that deficits don't matter. Well, that's not true. Deficits definitely matter because you don't have any. If you totally ignore whether you have a deficit, what are you doing? You're burdening both existing and future generations with more and more and more debt. It gets bigger and bigger. I haven't had time to look at the number. It's about ready to. It might have already crossed the $18 trillion threshold, or it's fast approaching that. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it's past it, but we'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, that's more than the entire production of final goods that the United States economy will produce this year. That's how out of control it is. Really, the only time in the past that we were in a similar situation was the ramp-up for World War II. Now, we're not fighting a world war, although we've been in many, many wars since World War II, although all of them have been undeclared. And that's one of the important things to understand. One of the reasons government is out of control and spending is out of control is the massive amount of money that the United States government spends on defense spending. Massive amount. Even though as a percent of the total budget, it has gone down. I think the last time I looked, it was at 19%. It might be 18% of the total budget. But they spend so much money, they can't even track it. And they admit it. That's when you know something's fundamentally wrong. We literally have several hundred bases across the world. Many of them are supply depots where you pre-position military assets and supplies in case of war. All that costs money. Someone's getting rich over it because they're buying a lot of goods and services. Contracts are let, and that equipment is sitting there. Now, you might think that's a great idea. Well, it might be a great idea if we had fiscal responsibility and weren't running massive deficits in terms of government spending exceeding total government revenues, but we're not. I mean, the last fiscal year, the deficit came in at $486 billion. That is slightly more than the deficit in the final year for President George W. Bush. And remember, it is Congress, both the House and the Senate, that determine how much money is being spent. Now, let me get back to the elections. My prediction is fairly straightforward. I believe that in terms the Senate will be controlled by the Republican Party, and they will pick up, they'll have a total of 56 Republican senators. 56. Now, many would say that's being very optimistic. I agree. I don't think they're going to run the table and get 58. 58 is still a possibility. Most of your pundits are predicting 52, 53, 54, but they're not going to 56, and few, if any, are going to 58. So my prediction, for what it's worth, is the Senate will be controlled by the Republicans. They will have 56 seats, and the House, they'll pick up, a little over a dozen seats. they'll have a total of approximately 250 seats. That's my prediction. In the House, total Republicans, 250 seats. They'll control the House. They'll keep control of the House, actually improve the number of seats that they control, as well as pick up the Senate. Then their only excuse for not balancing the budget is the President of the United States. And I'm not accepting that as a reason. So I hope that happens. Why? I want to see what the Republican Party is going to do and the leadership is going to do. See, my basic problem with the Republican Party today is its leadership, as well as, well, let me put it this way. Both political parties over the last 100 years have moved further and further to the left. In other words, they've advocated bigger and bigger and bigger government, both in terms of the size and the scope of the government. Now, the Democrats have done that full speed ahead. Wherever they have the votes, they pushed, pushed, and pushed. And if they were to get reelected and continue to control the Senate, that's what they want. So if you're expecting either a balanced budget, which would be the minimum, or better yet, actually cut spending so the size of the government goes down, forget about it with the Democratic Party. Now, why should you care? Are you unemployed? Are you unemployed? There's somewhere between 20 and 30 million Americans that would like to be employed full-time on a permanent basis. A little under 10 million are simply unemployed, have no jobs, and you have another over 10 million that have part-time jobs where they're usually working less than 30 hours, some less than 20, at jobs that are not permanent, temporary. Many of them are seasonal, and it's lower pay. Many times the qualifications, the experience of the person taking this job far exceeds what they truly need for the job. And you've seen it. I've seen it. People working at grocery stores that, you know, if they could find a full-time job, would take it in a New York minute. But they can't find it. And many of them have families. They need to pay the rent. They need to put food on the table, so they take what they can get. Many of them are working 1, 2, 3 part-time jobs because they can't find one good-paying permanent job. Now, I'm going over this for a simple reason. The number one issue and concern of the American people is jobs, is employment. And that will be the number one reason, no matter what the analysts say tomorrow. In other words, this is a vote of no confidence in President Barack Obama's economic policies, as well as foreign policies, but primarily economic policies. They were expecting a change, and they were hoping for a change, and President Obama simply has not been able to deliver the jobs. Now, he'll claim he has, but he hasn't. And Friday, I'll be going over the employment report that comes out after the elections on Friday. And the number I'm going to look at, and you can look at it, and I suggest you do, is to see what the employment level is. What is the total, in other words, how many Americans are working as of the end of October? It will be either below or right at the maximum number that have been employed, and that occurred 7 years ago in November of 2007. In other words, we haven't made progress. We're back to where we were 7 years ago. That's not progress. Why? Every month between 130,000 and 150,000 new entrants into the labor force, namely high school graduates and dropouts, college graduates and dropouts, enter the labor force looking for their jobs. We haven't kept up with that at all. We're at least 12 million jobs in the hole, 12 million, that weren't created and should have been created, and because of the economic policies making the government bigger and bigger and bigger and controlling more of the economy, namely healthcare. As a direct result of failed economic policies, millions of Americans are paying the price. They will vote. They will vote with their feet, and they will vote against the incumbent party, namely the Democratic Party. In other words, President Obama will be blamed for this, as will the Democrats that are up for re-election, whether in the House or the Senate. They will pay a price, and the price will be being thrown out of office. That's why the Republicans will gain in terms of number of seats in the House and in the Senate. Doesn't mean I'm expecting much from the Republican Party, because I don't think they could balance the budget to save their lives. They'll talk a good game about balanced budget amendments, constitutional amendments, when they know it's never going to be passed. They make no effort to balance the budget, and they play the baseline budget game where they talk about cuts in the baseline that aren't real cuts. What they're arguing about is the growth in spending, where the Democrats would like it to grow 10%, and they say, well, we'd like it to grow 5%. But either way, government gets bigger and bigger. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, both political parties are parties of big government. The best way to look at it, it's the big progressive liberal bird, where you have the Democratic wing flapping its wing and the Republican Party flapping its wing. And as a result, government gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the debt gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're living beyond the means of the American people, which means it's burdening not only current generations that are living, but future generations. That's immoral. That's irresponsible, and it can't continue. There will be a day of reckoning. And what will happen is the United States will default on its debt. Doesn't mean it's not going to pay the principal off or the interest. What it means is the money you get back, if you were foolish enough to invest in that asset class, will be worth a lot less. A lot less. So that's what's going on. I think the Republicans will win. I'm calling it the wipeout election of 2014. And what do I mean by that? The Democrats, this is a major defeat for the Democrats. I think it might even do irreparable harm to the Democratic Party. Now, they don't think that, and you're not going to hear it on your television networks for the simple reason the majority of the media are with them. Overwhelming the majority of the media, television networks, news networks, they're liberal progressive, not classical liberal. Liberal, like in the FDR sense, Franklin Delano Roosevelt sense, or Lyndon Johnson sense, or for that matter, Richard Nixon. They prefer to be called today progressives. Why? Liberalism has gotten a bad name. Because their wars, whether it's the war on poverty, the war on drugs, whatever the war is, they lose it. They spend a lot of money and nothing really gets better. And eventually people are waking up. The problem is, in the process, more and more of the American people are becoming more and more dependent on the government. That's the way both parties want it. And that's what you need to understand. Both political parties are motivated to make government bigger and to make you dependent on them so you will vote for them. I call that Santa Claus socialism. They're trying to bribe you. Vote for me and I'll increase your food stamp benefit or your Social Security or your welfare payment. Now, where did this money come from? It comes from you. There's no sugar daddy here. It comes from you. And what happens is Social Security taxes over time have gone up, up, and up. There's a reason for that. It's a pay-as-you-go system. People that are paying, working today, are paying for the benefits of older people, such as myself. Yeah, I paid in, but my money went to pay the Social Security benefits of my parents and of people of that generation. It's a pay-as-you-go. There's no trust fund. There's no account in your name. They're spending it. As they collect it, they're spending it as fast as they can. The problem is more and more people are retiring. The baby boom generation has already started to retire, which means they're eligible for Social Security, usually at age 66 or 67, and they're eligible for Medicare at age 65. And the last time I checked, about 10,000 people a day are qualifying for those programs. In other words, entitlement programs such as Social Security and Medicare are increasingly in debt, and eventually that can't last. You got to do really one of two things. Either you dramatically increase the taxes that current workers are paying. That's not going to be popular with young people, or for that matter, anybody that's working. Or you're going to have to decrease the benefits to people that are receiving Social Security, or some combination of the above. Now, there is ways to fix Social Security, but there's really no way to fix Medicare, for the simple reason the government right now does not pay the cost of the benefits that people are receiving in terms of healthcare services of the doctor. That's why most of you probably have a Medicare supplement plan, because you're aware of that. That costs you money, but that's going to go up, up, and up, because what's going to have to happen is the amount of money that the federal government reimbursed you, that if you're eligible for Medicare, is going to go down, down, and down. So something has to give. What gives is more and more of the costs that you thought were going to be paid by Medicare are now borne by you when you buy either a Medicare supplement or a Medicare Advantage plan. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a national conversation on how do we get out of this mess. And the problem, that is a conversation that neither the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party want to have with the American people. They believe they know best, and they're going to do what they want to do, and they frankly do not care what you think. That's the reality. It's a very elitist view, attitude, but that's reality. That's reality. And if you don't believe me, look what the Republican Party did under Bush. It ran massive deficits. It increased entitlement programs, Part D for drugs, prescription drugs for Medicare. Now, what did the Democratic Party do under Obama? It passed Obamacare, another major entitlement. When you're running massive deficits and entitlement programs, the last thing you should be doing is increasing the size and scope of those entitlements. That is exactly what both the Republican Party did and the Democratic Party did. That's why I say, what do we have? We have two parties that are big government parties. And the way they get elected is Santa Claus socialism. The Republicans are guilty of it, so are the Democratic Party. The problem is, eventually, the music stops, there's a day of reckoning, and then someday you're going to wake up and two things are going to happen. Your Social Security check is going to be worth a lot less, if not cut, and your Medicare the same way. We need leadership, and we don't have leadership. That's probably the biggest deficit. We have some really articulate people. For example, the senator from Texas, the junior senator, Ted Cruz, is very intelligent, very articulate. Good. He's one vote. What can he change? The answer is very little. Also, look at Rand Paul, the senator, junior senator from Kentucky. He speaks a good game. Both are Tea Party. Both sound like they're for limited government. But have they been able to change anything? The answer is no. And why? They are tolerated by the leadership of the Republican Party. And what the Republican Party leadership has tried to do is marginalize anyone that is for limited government. If you ask me what's your party, I would say, well, I'm a Republican, small r, and I'm a conservative or libertarian, small l. In other words, I'm not a member of the Republican Party. I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party. And that's my philosophy. I believe in the Constitution, but for all practical matters, it's a dead letter. It's honored in the breach. Whether it's going to war without a declaration of war, or whether it's out of control spending, you know, where in the Constitution is there authority for the federal government to pass a law such as Obamacare? There isn't. You see, what both parties have discovered is if they can make people dependent on government, they can entice them to vote for them by promising benefits or goodies. And both parties are guilty of it. The problem is it's out of control, completely out of control. No one in my generation could imagine the sheer size and scope of both the annual deficits in terms of how much they're spending in relation to how much they're collecting in taxes, nor in the dramatic increase that has resulted in those deficits in terms of the national debt. I couldn't even imagine that 10 years ago, 20 years ago and certainly not 30 years ago. What they're doing, both parties, is ruining the United States, ruining it. So what do you do? Well, you have one choice, is to stay home. I tend to lean in that way. It's not that I want to stay home. What I really want is a candidate and a party that reflects my political philosophy. There isn't any. Now, some will say the Libertarian Party. No. If I'm going to give my vote to a party, I want it to be successful. I want it to be well-funded. I want it to be principled, and I want the people that are running to have integrity in terms of their character. So in terms of either the Democrat or the Republican parties, and there are exceptions to this, and I gave you a couple, I can't find them. I can't find them. Because what invariably happens, and you're seeing it as I speak, without mentioning any names, they go to Washington, and in a matter of usually a year or two, sometimes a little bit longer, they sell out. In other words, they go along to get along. And what I mean by that, they want to be a member of certain committees or chairman of certain committees. So that's the way the good old boy and girl network runs. In other words, if you don't support the leadership, you won't get on the committee you want. And you certainly won't be the chairman of that committee. So either you play ball or you can forget about passing anything you want. That's the problem when you have a two-party system, and that is what the United States has. So until we have a successful third party that's well-funded, and that requires, this is not going to happen overnight. I need to say this. The mess we got into today has been going on for 100 years. There have been improvements and periods like now where it's gone downhill real quick. And I would say for the last 15 years, it's been a total disaster and getting actually worse. Time is running out. So what I'm looking for is a third party, a successful third party that truly reflects limited government and a representative republic, a constitutional republic. Have you seen that? Is anyone organizing that? I haven't been able to find that. Yes, the Tea Party is a movement, but a movement is not a party. And that's what the Republican Party counts on. They try to co-opt the Tea Party. They were somewhat successful, but ultimately not. Instead of embracing the Tea Party, they marginalized it and are trying to co-opt those few that got elected, whether it's Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and others. That's why I don't vote on Tuesday. I don't encourage the bastards, because they both have shown that once they're in power, control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, then their principles go out the window and they do what they want, which is more and more government spending. And if they want, and they do, both parties want to grant legal status to 30 to 50 million illegal aliens that are already here, and then increase legal immigration from currently 1 million, which I think is way too high, to 2 and ultimately 3 million. That is what the political elitist establishment want, both the Democrats and the Republicans. And mark my words, whether the Democrats or doesn't matter which party wins, they're going to double cross the voters. They've tried it under Bush. They're trying it under Obama, and they'll try it again. And they'll make sure whoever the nominee is of the Republican Party, and it looks like the establishment is pushing either Romney or Bush or Christie. As far as I'm concerned, those three, and there are several more, Rubio is another one, I won't vote for. I'll stay home. I'll throw my vote away. Why? The lesser of two evils is still evil. Government keeps getting bigger and bigger. They talk about balancing budgets. They can't even do that. What really needs to be done is shutting down whole departments and drastically cutting the budgets of the few remaining departments that we truly need. And before I forget, if you want to listen to this show, go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll have links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. At the very bottom, you'll have links to my entire portfolio of shows, with a few exceptions of some of the earlier shows. And in between, I have some excellent videos, some excellent music. And I want to point out, You probably never heard of the Ventures. That's many years ago, but you've heard the music, whether you know the name. But one of their songs was Wipeout, and that's what we're going to see tomorrow, the wipeout of the Democratic Party. But I caution the Republicans when they celebrate. Should you try to stick it to the base by not being fiscally responsible, by trying to push so-called comprehensive immigration reform instead of enforcing the law and deporting these 30 to 50 million illegal aliens. If you try to do that, what will happen tomorrow will happen to you in 2016. You see, more and more people are becoming independents. The number bounces around from week to week, and as you approach election, the Gallup poll is reflecting this, and it always happens. The number of independents goes down, but the general trend is more and more people are independents. It's somewhere between 40 and 50%. Now, I've made predictions in the past when that goes over 50%, and it will probably be, my guess is, in about 8 years. It might take a little longer. It could happen a lot earlier if we can get people to put their money where their mouths are. But once we get a third party, and we'll probably get a third party once the number of independents are over 50%, consistently over 50%, that's what it will take. And then one of the other parties, the Democrat or Republican, or possibly both, will go the way of the Communist Party. They'll be dead. Because this will be a major defeat of the Democrats, but guess what? It can be repeated in 2 or 4 years if the Republicans follow their past history, what they did under Bush. And they went on a spending binge, and they tried to pass comprehensive immigration reform, and it failed because the people called, hollered, screamed, and put a stop to it. The problem is we have elitists that really want to ignore the people. They're disconnected. They don't know what the people think, and they don't really care. They're going to do what their contributors are doing so they can stay in power. That's the only thing they understand is power and money. With that, I have to end the show. I'll pick it up tomorrow. I really only got started on this, but I do have another commitment that I can't continue. So go out and vote if that's your cup of tea. If you don't like any of them, stay home, enjoy yourself. They can't blame it on you. It's only the people that encourage them that they truly can blame it on. And there's some George Carlin short videos that I suggest you take a look at, because George, unfortunately, is no longer with us, but to a certain extent, he was a little bit bitter towards the end, but he reflects the thinking of many Americans today, especially independents. With that, let me end with my closing song, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.